Heavenly Father, may these words I speak be faithful to your written word, and by your grace lead us to hear your true and living word. Amen. How many times might we be so focused on what we are doing that all background noise fades into insignificance? You know, those moments where we get so focused with intensity on what we're reading or what we may be doing, we get in the zone, so to speak. Our focus is that intense that it takes someone to say our name or touch us to bring us back into paying attention to the here and now. Likewise, in our times of darkness, when we are experiencing times which are hard, when we are dealing with all that's going on, it can be hard for us to recognize God's presence. Like Job, we can get so caught up in dealing with the issue after issue that it seems to be one thing after the other, a never-ending cycle or a situation stuck on repeat that hinders our ability to hear God's voice. Job, after all he'd experienced, had come to the point where he was better able to detect God's presence. All those conversations he thought were one-sided, those unanswered requests where God was silent, and now life took a very different turn. All because he knew, he felt that God was there, and finally, Job was able to hear God's response. How wonderful that God was there all along. All through his experience, his deepest desire to be closer to God and to understand more of God, and now Job heard God's voice. Through his perseverance, Job was given the chance to gain a deeper insight. God extended his faith beyond what he could have ever imagined. In hearing God's voice, Job's response to God's question in verse 3, "I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." Job acknowledged his lack of knowledge. Further, in verse 5, Job voiced, "My ears heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you," which says to me that Job's spiritual understanding had grown. In the revelation that God heard his prayers and was there all along, Job was able to accept just how seemingly insignificant he was. Yet God had thought him worthy, and God had also persevered. Together, though probably more from God, Job was now able to grasp the extent of the work of God's creation, the beauty, the complexity of the harmony of nature with life itself. The result was his fortunes were restored and more besides. In verse 10, we are told that God gave him twice as much as he had before. It's mind-blowing when we stop and consider just what holding on to our faith has the ability to do. Job's humble response with faith, strengthened from perseverance in holding on to his integrity, in his trust in God, in his understanding and knowledge of God, Job gained a closer relationship and a greater understanding of God. There are plenty of other characters who demonstrate perseverance, and one is through the experience of Bartimaeus, who was blind. We join his life on the day Jesus, the disciples, and a large crowd were leaving the city of Jericho. Jericho was an ancient and most immoral city 5 miles west of the River Jordan. The road was used by pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem. It was a common sight for beggars to be found just outside the city gates. Here was Bartimaeus, a person on the outskirts of society. His physical impairment or blindness meant he would not have been seen in the same standing as those without physical impairment. Without begging, without a piece of change, some food or something given to them which they could use to barter for food, beggars would likely starve. Often in our news, we can hear of the plight of the homeless and vulnerable who are still treated as outcasts. It's often said and widely acknowledged that when we lose one sense, our other senses become more acute, with the potential to then strengthen our ability to navigate through life. I recall my Nan. She was registered blind and had been for most of her life after losing her sight as a child due to measles. Her blindness meant all she could see was shadows as shapes. She managed well with running the house. She raised 10 children, did all the cooking, and made sure the house was always presentable. When us grandkids came along, we would think we could get away with things. But boy, did she know when we did something wrong. It was amazing how accurate her throw was. Strict wasn't the word for it. She was the nan you didn't mess about with, because she would know what we were up to, even when we thought she couldn't tell because she couldn't see. Somehow, she just knew. Bartimaeus likely relied on his other senses to keep him going. We can safely assume that somewhere in the past, Bartimaeus had overheard people talking about Jesus, telling of a miracle or two performed by Jesus. However, we are not told of Bartimaeus' history. We are not able to say for certain how much Bartimaeus knew about Jesus or scriptures. What we can focus on is the information we have in our gospel in today's reading. When Bartimaeus heard Jesus was nearby, this happened. Over the noise from a crowd walking by as they left Jericho, Bartimaeus, who had been sitting by the roadside, heard it was Jesus, probably from hearing his name, or even he may have asked, "Why all the noise?" On discovering it was Jesus, he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This description of Jesus evoked the story of David returning to claim his kingdom in Jerusalem. No doubt, Bartimaeus used that strong title in order to get Jesus' attention, but those around him, in no uncertain terms, told him to be quiet. That only made him more determined not to lose this opportunity. Bartimaeus hollered all the more. Now, I suppose we could compare this to being just like a petulant child, or adult for that matter, exclaiming, "I want that one," and kicking up a fuss in the shop, causing most embarrassment. The difference being that this was not just a want. This was with more urgency, more sincerity for the need to be addressed. He shouted a second time, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Hearing his plea, Jesus stood still, knowing that the bustling noise of the crowd meant Bartimaeus would struggle to know where Jesus was. He stopped and asked the crowd to call him. This speaks of the time when people intercede for us, and here was the crowd doing just that. Then, in verse 49, "Call him here," Bartimaeus was able to follow his path to Jesus. Bartimaeus was on his feet. In fact, he jumped to his feet. I can feel his excitement was there. His eagerness came to the forefront, and he didn't want to leave Jesus waiting for him, not one second longer than necessary. Jesus asked a simple and yet powerful question with so many options for a possible answer. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus' response was simple, and yet in his response, he showed his understanding of just who Jesus was. In verse 51, "Rabbi, I want to see." Bartimaeus recognized Jesus as both teacher and healer, and his response continued after being given his sight. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Bartimaeus' story shows an eagerness and willingness to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus. His faith healed him. In all that Bartimaeus had done, the calling out to Jesus, the response to Jesus' call, and his answer to the question, Bartimaeus was demonstrating his faith. The wonder of faith is the gift given to us by God. Faith is God's gift to us, which offers us dual blessings, both physically and spiritually. Here we are able to physically see Jesus in the flesh. Here we are unable to physically see Jesus in the flesh passing through our lives and those touch points where he interacts directly with us. We can realize, accept, and believe Jesus is present in our lives. Like Bartimaeus, we too can seize the moment because we may never have the opportunity to do so again. On this Bible Sunday, we take a moment to consider how appreciative we are of the oral traditions of those generations of orators, the ability of those early scribes to read, to write, and meticulously copy the written text without exception, the pains gone through to ensure that God was heard through enabling those who could read to read his word in their own language were and are extensive. The challenge of translation is not as simple as converting a word into a different language, but to ensure the context is correct without changing the text and holding on to the integrity of the Word of God. We have different versions of the Bible, and yes, they will all read slightly differently, and some may have a little more of translator's interpretation than others, but still they have the message of God. Which version of the Bible is right? The one you connect with. There are no right or wrong versions of the Bible. The right version, if you like, is the one which you are able to understand. From the King James through to the Living Translation and everything in between, there's something to be said about reading the Bible and connecting with God's Word. What matters is recognizing the author's interpretation and our own take on the spiritual, scriptural text. In this country, because we are able to read, to listen, and to make sense of and understand more deeply the Bible in our own language, we can appreciate that Jesus doesn't care about schedules, keeping times, and so on. As far as Jesus is concerned, the one in need is of the utmost importance. The one in greatest need is worth stopping for. We can clearly see again that it doesn't matter where we come from, what our status or standing in society is. Jesus is there, ready to be present and with us at the point of need. Jesus came to be with the vulnerable, both then and today. The question is, what do we want Jesus to do for us? What would our response be to the question, what do you want me to do for you? Both Job and Bartimaeus were men with a deep desire and longing for a closer relationship with God. They both have demonstrated that faith overcomes the difficulties they've experienced. By the example contained in our text today, we can be encouraged that the more we persevere in studying scriptures, then the more we can grow in wisdom and feel closer to God. Holding on to our faith serves us through all sorts of challenges. Those challenges may only be known between God and us, but it is in holding on to our faith that sees us through. We have heard today that faith and perseverance are rewarded. There are times when we focus on the today and forget about the tomorrow, but there are times like today when we can look to our tomorrow with great joy. The promise of tomorrow we have been given is that one day our perseverance in our walk of faith will be rewarded by us joining Jesus in heaven. Only then will we truly be able to see Jesus. Sometimes we may only see the shadows. We may have an idea of what is going on, but it is by our faith that we are able to see. With a clearer understanding, we are able to confidently walk by faith, placing one foot in front of the other. May we remember that no matter how tightly we are holding on to God, he is holding on to us much, much tighter. Let him open our eyes so that we too can see the things too wonderful for us to know. Amen.